Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I feel like I should be watching some John Hughes movie. Is this Pretty in Pink? The Donga need food!
I am by your side.
Oh, my Yankee, my Wankee!
802.
We're going to do the pinned report here momentarily as well. Eric DeHatchik at about 8:25. Pretty good looking Tuesday out there. How about that wind, though, hey? It's been very windy.
Yesterday, how was the golf with that wind?
It was not good. There was a contest that we held a couple months ago, I guess. Of course, Warner is in cahoots with Glenmore Audi. So they held a golf with Rhett and Boomer and Doug Shostak, who's... The big cheese.
The big gun there, yeah.
So we went golfing with Trevor yesterday. He was very excited.
Obviously.
You know what he did? He brought Rhett a Jays hat.
Oh, isn't that great?
Brought him a Jays hat.
They won 8 of 11. They're 3 out of the wild card. Yeah. Rhett's back, baby.
So now Rhett's got his Jays hat. It's up to him if he wears it. But the hat order... seems to be no longer necessary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which, no, what style is it, do you know? Because he was eyeing the spring training one, which is the navy blue. This was the straight.
This was just the blue with the bird.
Yeah, nice.
And then a little blue J's on the back.
All right.
Yeah.
Well done.
So then we went out and golfed. And what did you ask me about? You got a text or something?
Well, someone's alleging that you're a bit of a sandbagger.
How can I be a sandbagger?
Well, what sandbagging is...
I'm aware what it is.
Getting more strokes than you really should be getting. So if that's the case, then you're a sandbagger. You're asking how you would be a sandbagger. That would be it.
I thought sandbagger was when you say you're not good, but you actually are good.
Well, if you say you need 20 strokes and you only should be getting 15, then that would be sandbagging.
Here's the thing. I am no good. Mm-hmm. They gave me strokes, and then I ended up taking the money.
Okay. So you're no good. You got the strokes and you won.
Yeah.
So the strokes are earned.
Blame them.
So you weren't sandbagging. You're just awful and got lots of strokes.
I shot like 160 and they still couldn't beat me.
Well, you're not good.
I'm not good. You've seen me golf. Am I a sandbagger?
Well, you're not good. But if you wanted 1,000 strokes, that would be sandbagging, even as bad
as
you
got 20. I think I got 20 for the round.
So you had a couple holes with 2 strokes. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
That 20 is pretty, I think you're around a 20. That's not sandbagging.
Or maybe that's, I don't know what it was.
Or 30. That's a bit of a gap there.
Either way,
I
got a bunch of 20s in my pocket.
Well done.
Yeah. And Warner just makes you sick, right?
Well.
Because do you think that guy's ever gone to a driving range or has ever taken a golf lesson?
No.
Shows up there with his Dickies shorts on, some bad hat. And just starts swinging. Oh, there's 3 down, straight down. Nice little touch around the green.
And you listen to the show, you're like, oh, I bet you can't even swing. The shoulders are so bad. No, fine.
There was a lot of that. Oh, it's not sustainable. My shoulders, my shoulders. Clang!
320 down the pipe.
He's a sandbagger. If you want to talk about a sandbagger.
How many strokes did he get?
He didn't get it.
Well, it's not sandbagging though.
Well, the problem was.
He's playing as a zero?
The first few holes were one snip, and then they went up to 2 per hole, and then up to 3. And by the time the 15th, 16th hole, I actually figured out I can maybe just put the club face on the ball and not send it into somebody's backyard.
Bunt it straight, 150, 150, 150, net little, 0 on the green, 3 putt for birdie.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That'll be $20.
Hold on, I need to empty your wallet now.
Before we get into the Pinder report, so thanks to Trevor. He was, he's great. Some law profit, non-profit law lawyer, crooked
good guy,
thing.
Eh? Yeah. Helping out people that can't afford lawyers. You're so good, Trevor.
Oh, golf game's pretty good for a non-profit lawyer. Getting a day off, are you? DeForest, now that you're back, and it's great to have you back. Did you realize I won again? So I won the lobby creep this morning, and I've just won again?
No, that's great.
Earlier this morning, and I here's the thing. I love...
This is so not...
The listeners are great because they don't miss anything. If you pick up, if you make even the slightest mistake, kablamo, they will drill you right between the eyes. What was the one I said earlier about, I was doing I mucked up a couple of words. Oh, really? Is that what it is? Oh, nice. Yeah. Sorry, I slipped up on a couple of words, but they don't miss it. They don't miss the bad, and they don't miss the very good either. Now, granted, this one is right down the pipe.
Okay.
This is an 89 mile an hour right down the pipe. Put some weight into it because it's leaving the ballpark. This was our traffic report from earlier this morning.
This is the latest from the 660 News Traffic Center.
We do have a dead deer on Memorial Drive in the Northeast.
So sad.
Listen,
We do have a dead deer on Memorial Drive in the Northeast.
Now, I'm not making fun of the deer. Hey, I love deers.
Dead deers.
Deer.
Now, because it comes back to, now, multiple deer, are they deer or
dead deers?
Deers?
They're still deer.
Dead deers.
So dead deers was really good.
Deers would be like your grandmother talking to a bunch of her grandchildren.
Yeah.
Deers, come over.
That's right.
But like deer would be multiple animals. Yeah. Deer.
I see you
it's
have.
Like fish, not fishes.
I see you have a couple of tractors. What are they? Oh, they're John Deere's.
Right.
Mm-hmm. John Deere. Yeah,
we do have a dead deer.
Oh, dear.
And then there's a family of ducks in the last one.
And I don't think that's fair. I tried the best I can.
Crying.
Dead deer.
Dead deer. Bum, 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 bum. So, of course, as soon as you guys heard that, dead deer. Yeah! Dead deer! You guys are, you know what? Love you, but you're sick.
Dead deer.
That you would take pleasure and joy out of a dead deer.
Dead deer.
Cleary's cinching. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Instead of series clinching.
Give you a little shot on that. That was
Cleary's cinching. Did you just say clear? Yeah, I did. All right. I did. I drove by the deer. It's dead.
Dead deer.
Thanks. There's some more updates coming in.
Yeah, that's just verifying original reports.
Is this a sports show or what are you guys doing? Well, I don't know. I can't even answer that. Don't ask me because I can't answer that. Eric DeHatcha coming up, but right now, it's time for the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
And with the Pinder Report, as always, it's Ryan Pinder. Good morning, Ryan.
Dino, game one of the Stanley Cup Final last night. Yes, the Sharks and the Penguins. And the Penguins with a quick start against the Sharks.
Pop it up ahead to Russ, and he flies into the Shark zone. Drop pass over to Schultz. Wrist him on block. In front, Penguin dive, and they score. Sheary in the Shark zone. Wrist shot. Hey! Schultz and scores. Connor Sheary from the right wing circle. Drills it by Martin Jones from 24. 2-0 Pittsburgh. Let's go, Hunt, Moose, son of Harley.
Yeah, never mind the dynamic duo of Crosby and Malkin. How about Brian Rust and Connor Sheary? That is the sixth of the postseason for Rust, the third of the postseason for Sheary, and the nobodies from 6 months ago have been instrumental in this Penguins postseason run. Rust, at the time of his goal, had scored four of the five last goals the Penguins had scored in the postseason, a big one in Game 6 against Tampa, then two in Game 7, the only two they scored, and of course the opener in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Even Don Cherry saw this coming.
Just looking at him, he had a head like a skull.
Called it in the first intermission. This is Pittsburgh's night. San Jose's not going to keep up. We're going to have a good series, but it's going to be all Penguins tonight. Well, he was kind of right. It wasn't the first, but the second, Sharks showing a little backbone.
Burns to Donskoy, right side. Down low, hurdle, turn, shoots, and score! Burns the shot right on net, save made. Rebound Marleau, wraparound. He scores! Patrick Marleau, a wraparound, ties the game at two.
Right on net, save made, wraparound score! Burnsy, 2-2 after 40.
When his things drop, it's going to sound a lot different.
What do you want to be when you grow up, sir? I'd like to be a radio guy.
So to the third we go, tied at two. Seconds, minutes falling off the clock. All of a sudden, inside the final 5 minutes of the third period, the scent of overtime wafting in the building. Yes. Can you smell it, Boom? Yeah, is it? No, maybe that's not overtime. Maybe that's just tanning oil, spandex, and an earring with a little tassly thing, because it was Heartbreak Kid HBK time.
Burns blocked and stepped his shot, but he lost his stick. Now the Penguins trying to exploit that. But Tang, in front, got a man there. Bonino shoots and scores! Nick Bonino gives Pittsburgh the lead, 3-2. And Martin Jones just lost his liquor license. Penguins 3. San Jose 2 with 2:33 left.
Yes, the HBK line again in a big spot for the Penguins. So sexy. Bonino, tell us how it went in. Boy toy.
Yeah, I just came into the zone a little bit late. I saw Tanger in the corner and Haggy was on there battling with him and wasn't sure if I should get out of there and get above their guys. I kept alive and Tanger put it right on my stick.
We're not listening.
One of those shots that wasn't my hardest shot by any means, but just found a way to kind of flip
just
it over him and
great
pass from Tanger.
How about Tanger? What do you think about the HBK line? So sexy. Your knees start to shake.
Yeah, I mean, that line is being huge for us. They're tough to handle, huh? With all their speed and they have the Bonino that is just a smart player that get them the puck or
he's
so smart like he rolls them and try to create space for other guys.
Oh, that HBK line is so bloody good. We're Haglin.
We're not
Bonino.
Listening.
Kessel. It doesn't matter. We're winning the cup. It's Conn Smythe for the Fat Man. So sexy.
Jay, have you ever noticed that whenever wrestling comes in, Pinder like explodes? Remember like the Chris Jones? Now he's got the HBK. I didn't know you were this closet wrestling fan.
Tanger loves him.
Yeah, I mean, that line is being huge for us.
Huge for us. I'm not your boy toy. Your knees get weak. Take that, Marty Jones. I'll see you at SummerSlam.
3-2, your final. And the one comment that continued to resonate around the hockey world. Team speed, team speed. Penguins are fast. Boy, can they skate. Look at Sid throwing snow on the end glass.
So sexy.
Fast game.
Fast game.
Pretty quick team you got here.
Fast
San
game.
Jose is going to have to find a way to address the team speed and the depth of the Penguins. We talk about it when Rust's on your second line and Sheary's on your first line.
HBK.
That's your third line.
I got it. Yeah. Is that how that works?
I always do the guns when I make this sound.
I was going to say, you got the double guns going. Very good.
One concerning note for the Penguins. Brian Rust left this hockey game after taking a heavy hit from Pat Marleau. So hairy.
So hairy.
From Anna Roed. And we'll keep an eye on his status moving forward. Game 2 tomorrow night from Steeltown. NHL news. Well, our buddy Elliot Friedman reporting yesterday, Ken Hitchcock will be back in St. Louis next year, but maybe not in the exact same coaching staff as we saw, because of course, well, there's Kirk Muller on that staff, and Kirk Muller apparently a guy that a lot of teams would be interested in, specifically Anaheim and Calgary, the teams that need NHL head coaches. He has had one spin with Carolina, although getting back to Hitchcock,
right?
Players suggesting he is the guy they need back if they're going to win a championship.
Who's player breakaway? Hitchcock, so fat.
Some of the guys at least felt that way.
Doesn't seem on board.
As for Kirk Muller in Calgary, let's hope they interview him. If Randy Carlyle can get two interviews with the Flames, as reported by Steve Simmons, I would hope Kirk Muller could get one. Someone on the text line suggesting, okay, well, Brad Treliving was in Russia. Maybe they do a Skype. Now he's back. They do a face-to-face. Is that the only way we can understand why there's been two conversations with Carlyle?
I just feel like you are deathly scared.
I'm incredibly afraid of
him. What are you more afraid of? Randy Carlyle coaching the Flames or dying in traffic.
Randy Carlyle coaching
the Flames.
I feel
that, yeah.
I have children, yeah.
I feel like the death you can deal with. It's Carlyle, you can't.
No, it's without question. Everyone's like, oh, are you worried about getting in traffic? No, I'm worried about Carlyle being the head coach of the Flames.
Mm.
That is the concern. As for Mueller, there are a few connections. I recall being with the Abbotsford Heat when Kirk Mueller was the head coach in Milwaukee and Marty Gelinas was the player development guy. We then went and saw Milwaukee again in the postseason that year. Mueller had left to go coach the Carolina Hurricanes. And Gelinas had gone from player development onto the bench. So there is at least one relationship with the current members of the Flames coaching staff. As it's been noted, Gelinas, Sigalette, and Pringle will all be retained by Calgary. Any other news on the coaching front in your mind? We've spun out about 50 names over the last month, and I think we are approaching the one-month mark.
Yeah, I think some of the downtime, I'm guessing if you were to ask Brad Treliving, he would tell you there's no downtime, but his mother died on the weekend. And there will be that to deal with. So I would guess, if nothing else, just a brief pause as they mourn that unfortunate circumstance. But they've got to be rounding third here at some point and heading towards a decision. If the Carlyle thing is happening again, we've heard of a number of others. We know that he's spoken with Glenn Gullitson. He's spoken with a number of other guys. They're going to want to have this done before the draft. I know there's no rush. But at the same time, you've had enough time. If you were to hire someone now, you did not rush.
Yeah.
You've taken due diligence and the course that you need to.
It's been thorough. You've had a chance to see how other people view your organization and how your hockey team played last season. Now it's about finding the right two guys to come work together, because I do think it's going to be somewhat like that Ottawa situation where you're going to have heard about the assistant coach as the head coach because of the number of names we've seen thrown out there. But it's about now focusing your energy on a very important draft for this hockey club where they have four picks in the top two rounds. To the majors we go. Jays facing
water.
Yankees in Toronto last night. The opener of a three-game set. If it felt like they just played the Yankees, well, it's because they did just play the Yankees, 5 days ago in the Bronx. Last night, Marco Estrada spun an absolute gem into the eighth and through the eighth, allowing just three hits.
3-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. Great pitch down and away, fooling Gregorius, two down.
Estrada has now beaten the Yankees twice in 5 days. He's the first Jays pitcher to do that since Dave Steeb back in 1982.
Whew. What?
That's a while ago. He's also holding hitters to a 184 average. That is a top mark in the American League.
Dude.
Estrada, the best pitcher in the American League? Well, by this measure, yes. That's something that we didn't expect when he was picked up as a bullpen guy for Adam Lind just a couple off seasons ago. But the game wasn't without some tense moments. After 108 pitches and just those three hits through 8 innings of shutout ball for Estrada, they did have to go to the bullpen, and it wasn't a save situation, which meant bring in the Pepto-copter. Aaron Loop back from the minors, giving up a two-run shot.
Oh, dear.
Then Drew Storen, soiling himself publicly before getting the final two outs. The duo combines to allow two runs before and three hits before allowing the four runs that would have tied the game. It's a victory for the Jays. They're a game over 500, three back of the wild card. Of note, Tulowitzki remains on the DL, an off day for Devin Travis. And with him sitting, it was an opportunity for Ryan Goins to have a big day, and he did.
2-0 pitch in the air, deep to left field. Back goes Gardner. He's at the wall. It's gone. A little Goins gone.
Goins gone indeed. Not a lot of big hits for him this season, but there was one last night. Tonight, Jay Happ, the lefty, has been great against CC Sabathia. Lefty-lefty battle tonight. What's up with their pinstripes? They'd won six in a row. Now all of a sudden, speed levels. They had one hit against Tampa two nights ago and won the game. A one-hit win.
Their pitching isn't good enough. When CC Sabathia is a ray of light, Pineda's got, they've already sent Severino down. They're going to send goofy Michael Pineda down.
Where's Tanaka at?
He's okay.
Yeah. You're asking a lot of the guys with not a lot of track record. Severino and him. Tanaka.
Nate Eovaldi's been good.
He's been real good. Yeah. He throws hard. But these aren't not the Yankees of last generation.
Yeah, all right.
They just aren't bullies anymore. To the NBA we go. Big night in the Bay Area last night.
Hot take.
Hot takery.
Curry with the ball down the near sideline. His choice of screens. Picks up the dribble. Finds Klay Thompson. He'll fire away. His jumper's good at the three. With Westbrook on his hip. Klay Thompson having an incredible series. His sixth three of the night.
Yes, they did it. They were down by as many as 13 in the first half, but the Golden State Warriors rallied a win at home in Game 7, erasing a 3-1 deficit. You had
NBA
the number.
NBA update.
It's the 10th time in the history of the NBA.
NBA play. Update.
I'd give it, but sounds like that's the end of the NBA update.
Steph Curry said this about the...
You know, 6-7 days ago, and we're down 3-1.
NBA update.
It's really hard when...
Looks like we're time for a break here. That's
when the production comes in like that.
8:22. You're...
Ryan.
That's all right.
The Pinder Report for Motorworks, the only independent shop that works exclusively on BMWs with only BMW trained technicians. Google Motorworks Calgary or visit them just east of Chinook Mall.
Thanks.
We're coming back with Eric DeHatchick. Stay there. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
This past weekend, the Indianapolis 500 was held. Do you know, at the Motor Speedway, they had 350,000 people.
Holy.
For Indy 500. And on the infield, because it's a 2.5-mile track.
It's like Saskatoon and Regina rammed into one track.
Yeah, so they have... There was one place, it's called the Snake Pit, where people just went and drank. And there's other areas where they would just go and drink. There's a story out today showing some of the just what's been left behind.
Yeah.
When you have 350,000 people.
A third of a million humans.
Like, it's there's shoes, there's tents, coolers, barbecue.
I've never been to NASCAR. And it's never been like a burning passion, but anyone that's gone says like, you just have to go see what it's like to have that many people in that small
folding
space.
Tables, they just left. So we brought all of our stuff and we've left it.
Look. Race is over. I'm hungover. We're out of here.
Sick.
Leave the gear.
350,000 race fans.
It's a lot of beer. A lot of light beer.
Let's catch up with Eric DeHatchick as we hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, Jay. I didn't even realize. I could have, could have kept going. Or I wonder, did Jay forget? Do you think? Oh, there you go.
He's so excited. I thought I heard that HBK music again.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, far be it for us to beat a bit into the ground. Eric DeHatchick, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Are we going to hear... Well, let me ask you this. Elliot Friedman threw out the date, and maybe you've heard it as well. I don't know how public knowledge. June 22nd. NHL expansion, Gary Bettman will bring us all into the loop. What will be the announcement on June 22nd? Are we going to Vegas, or are they holding off?
I think they are going. I absolutely do. I mean, as near as I can tell, because Gary Bettman addressed this at the State of the Union yesterday, and he was his usual self. You know, he said, we will have clarity by then, but here are the four options, right? So he actually added an option that nobody was even considering, which is that they would approve expansion but defer it until some later date. So they would talk about it in general terms as part of a going-forward business plan, but we're not going to say this year, we're not going to say next year, or sometime in the vague future. But I think that it's a bit of a smokescreen. I think that the people in Vegas believe they're getting a team. NHL general managers believe they have to start, you know, preparing their rosters because there will be an expansion draft within 12 months. And I just think that they wanted to go into that market, and the market is ready. You know, it's not as if they need an owner there like they do in Seattle. It's not as if they need a building there as they do in Seattle. They're ready. And the will is there. So I don't see why it won't happen. Now, you know, a lot will depend on the executive committee, which I understand, I guess, has not met yet. And depending on what the executive committee recommends, I believe that's the course of action. So can you imagine, you know, Murray Edwards and Jeremy Jacobs and the people that really run the National Hockey League, sort of this generation of Bill Wirtz's, what objection would they have to not do this? And I can't really think of any good ones. I mean, I know the one thing that they don't want basket case franchises. You know, when you think about the NHL landscape right now, there are still, you know, Arizona's still not, it's still a struggle in Arizona. It's still a struggle in Carolina. Their attendance was terrible this year. They don't want to add another team that will just go there and exist and drain, you know, money out of the revenue sharing pot. But I think that, you know, that they think that the model is going to work in Vegas, and they're excited about it, and they want to be there. They wanted to be there for a long time. So I just can't, you know, outside looking in, find any reasons why they're not going to announce Vegas.
To your comment, I believe that the infrastructure is ready. I believe that the owner is ready. Mm-hmm. You said the market. Do you really think the market is ready?
Well, they have all these season ticket deposits, so you know that will get put some money in the bank. When Vegas first came up 4 or 5 years ago as a, you know, as a viable option, not just some pie in the sky thing, I was speaking to an NHL governor, and I said, how is this market going to be different than other markets? You know, because I think a lot of people thought that, you know, Phoenix would go partly because of Snowbirds, you know, sort of the casual fans dropping in, Florida and Tampa. I mean, one of the reasons they put Florida and Tampa in the division with Montreal and Toronto is they thought, well, at least a handful of times a year when those teams are down there, you know, the people from those markets will drop in. And the reality is you can't rely on that kind of walk up from visitors in places like that. But, I mean, you guys are in Vegas all the time. There's a million people visiting Vegas. You know, they're there always. You know, it's crowded. It's convention center. I think they believe that this market is unique, different than other warm weather markets, just because it is such a tourist destination. And then, you know, and people go to shows in Vegas, right? I mean, they're not gambling all the time. Not everybody has an appetite to be in the casinos 24/7, and they want entertainment. And instead of going to see Cirque today, they might say, well, let's go to this. They think that will be a factor in it. And the other thing is that they believe that the casinos will help them with the corporate. So, you know, in terms of private box sales, and that part of the financial equation, they feel that, you know, the presence of a large hospitality industry in Vegas will allow them to sell the boxes and the advertising and all the things that you need to create secondary revenue in an NHL team. So I think, yeah, they believe all those things together, you add them all up, that is enough to make it work.
It sure seems like things have cooled in terms of Quebec City. Do you see it the same way, or are they just plotting their next strategy?
Yeah, again, you know, when I speak to people that are like decision makers at the National Hockey League about Quebec, the main red flag that they raise is that, again, they don't want basket case franchises. So, you know, it's still a small market. It's the opposite of Vegas in that, you know, it has this rabid base of hockey fans. So you think if it works in Winnipeg, it's going to work in Quebec for all the reasons that Winnipeg has come back and been a fabulous success. All those factors are in place in Quebec. The only difference is that the buy-in in Winnipeg will end up being about a quarter of what it will cost for Quebec to buy the team. And, you know, it's the difference between me buying my house with 50% down and you buying yours with 5% down. If you have to carry that massive mortgage and have to service that debt, you will need more revenue than I will, or more to do that. And so Winnipeg is doing okay, but they're still a budget team. You know, they're not spending to the cap. They are being very careful about how they go about building their team. You know, they have not strayed at all from the principles that they put in place when they went in there. They're a draft and develop team, and you know, and all of the lure of going out for quick, none of that. They you know, everybody gets seduced by that. Winnipeg hasn't. So they've run this incredibly intelligent business operation, and again, they're doing okay. And so can you duplicate the business model in Quebec? It will be hard because the discipline that Winnipeg has shown is pretty much unprecedented anywhere in the National Hockey League. But they had to pay four times for the team. So I think the expectation is that Quebec will get a team, and at some point, one of those franchises in the Eastern Conference that's struggling, that's trying to find an owner, that, you know, somebody throws up their hands in frustration and says, enough, and then Quebec is ready to pounce in the same way that Winnipeg was. And you remember how fast that Winnipeg thing turned around? We'd heard for years and years and years, Phoenix is going, Phoenix is going, Phoenix is going. Then all of a sudden, Atlanta, boom. It took, what, 2 months or something like that. It went very, very quickly. And so, you know, somewhere within the next 5 years, I see that happening for Quebec, but I don't see them getting an expansion team this time around.
The Thrashers to Winnipeg announcement was 5 years ago today, in fact.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Here's the thing. You know, I'll put in a plug for Winnipeg. I think that they, you know, they're going to get this Patrick Laine, who looks like he's going to be a dynamic player. But I... they've been criticized in that market for, you know, for not doing the things that other teams do. You know, you bring in this guy, you bring in that guy a little bit, and they just say, nope, we're going to develop our own goaltender, we're going to develop our own defense, we're going to develop our own forwards, and at some point when we hit that sweet spot where we can actually compete for a championship and have the, you know, the depth in place that you need, that, you know, then we'll pay our guys. So everybody I talk to in hockey says that they have the best reserve list. When you see these young kids that they've got coming up, they're going to get another piece. It'll be very interesting to see where they're at in 24 months in terms of their product on the ice. I think they could be really good.
There sort of seems to be this thought that they're going to be a relocation, not an expansion, but it's the same thing to the Board of Governors, isn't it? Why would a relocation fee be different than an expansion fee? You're getting the same product, aren't you?
It's two completely different transactions. Let's use Carolina, you know, as an example. Like at some point, Peter Karmanos, he's been looking for an investor, hasn't been able to find one. You know, he will negotiate a price with the Quebec group, and whatever that price is the number. And I think in terms of a relocation, you know, you could maybe, you know, it's like, you know, buying a car on sale. You know, I don't think that they're going to pay $500 million for it. I don't think they're going to have to. So I think that they, you know, and of course those monies don't accrue to the National Hockey League. I mean, you know, deep down, I think the NHL wants to be a 32-team entity, and I think that, you know, deep down they want to be in Seattle. And Seattle is so far away from, you know, getting its act together in terms of getting an owner there, getting a building there, that if you put the 31st team in Vegas and then you wait and you let Quebec take care of itself by having an Eastern team relocate there, and then in 5 years or 6 years or 8 years, whenever, I mean, eventually Seattle will get a new building in the same way that eventually Calgary will get a new building. Once they have the building, probably some kind of an ownership group will come out of the works, and then you start negotiating with that market, and then you have the geographic distribution that you want. I mean, the one thing that I've written about expansion that I still believe to be absolutely true is that the days of the money grab are gone. That's one of the things that, you know, again, getting back to the executive committee, the Murray Edwardses and the Jeremy Jacobs, these guys, they're in it for the long haul. They understand that, you know, just, you know, grabbing the money and putting it in the bank, that doesn't work. Eventually it disappears. And the only people that want to do that are the franchises bleeding red ink, and they're not the decision makers in this process. They have a business model in mind for the National Hockey League, you know, long after I'm gone, and that involves 16 teams in the West and 16 teams in the East. And the one hole that they've got on that footprint that Gary Bettman talked about when he came in like 1993 is the Pacific Northwest. And they can't force that, but they can certainly wait for it.
And you don't feel like a team expanding in Vegas would be portrayed as a cash grab?
No. I think again, they believe that that market has value beyond just you know, that's the 31st team in the National Hockey League. I mean, they go in there every year for their NHL awards. They think that by being in Vegas, it will attract attention. You know, this is, again, this is part of marketing the National Hockey League. And that's a market that, you know, there's this sort of unofficial race to Vegas in a lot of ways, because I think other sports leagues are trying to get in there as well. I think they feel that will be, that could be a marquee franchise. And, you know, it's a great convention city. So that will be, you know, it'll be a destination for the National Hockey League. I think if the team can ever get good there, I think that they feel that you could put all-star games there all the time, drafts. I mean, you know, they're doing business in Vegas already, and they don't even have a team there yet. Yeah. So no, they like the market more than, I mean, everybody likes the cash, but I think the more important thing is that, as I say, long-term business plan.
And everything's cyclical, and you can't, like you say, a long-term plan, you can't put to, but the economic devastation in Vegas and in that area. It's no longer there. I know in 2014, I believe they set a record for tourists going to Vegas in 2015. I think it was going to be the same. There was even talk I read a couple weeks ago that obviously it's the MGM group who built that rink right in behind the Monte Carlo and that. There's talk that one of the other, they're looking at a Madison Square Garden type of a building. As we know, the Davis family is talking about moving the Raiders there. And hey, it's just money. Build them a stadium. Somehow some people have this this money. And would you rather own a team in Oakland or would you rather be in Vegas? That's an easy one.
Yeah, I think so, too. As I say, you know, the hospitality industry is so strong there, and people want to be entertained when they go there. We go there a couple times a year. I know you guys do, too. You know, the place is teeming with tourists and restaurants and things to do, and it could be like an enormously successful franchise. And I do think it's different than some of the other Sun Belt initiatives. I know there are people that disagree with that, and they could be right. But I see it from both sides. And put it this way, if I had $500 million and wanted to have a team, and my choices were Las Vegas, Nevada, or Raleigh, Carolina, I know where I'd be.
Well, and you know what the thing about that building is they built it for hockey. Unlike in Brooklyn or maybe some other places, there's no retrofitting. This was built with the NHL in mind.
Yeah, and every expansion team has an initial bump of interest, you know, because of the curiosity factor, and then you just got to get good. You got to get good, and you got to hope that people who fly to Vegas, if they're from places where they don't have National Hockey League teams, they'll see it as a one-off, and if everything else falls into place in terms of how they see their revenue streams coming from the four or five ways that you can make money as a National Hockey League team, if all those things fall into place the way they imagine, the franchise will be really good.
Thanks, Eric. We'll catch up in a couple days.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Eric DeHatcha, good stuff there. He's got a good feel for that kind of stuff.
Yep. Vegas is interesting because everyone keeps talking about, how many people live there and all that. Like, does that matter when you're selling Celine Dion concerts? Does that matter when you're Cirque du Soleil? Does that matter when you're MMA? The whole bloody point about Vegas is that there's probably, 200,000 to a half million people that aren't from Vegas, from cold places there all winter? The Europeans, Canadians, northern United States, these are hockey fans.
I know.
And what you do is you don't put it at 8 at night. You put it at 5 in the afternoon. You put it at 2 on a Sunday.
41 dates, regular season dates a year. The Celine Dion thing, I mean, there's a global kind of pull. Like, women want to go and see that, from any different country. The MMA thing, obviously, that's kind of similar, I suppose, but just one of those events every, month? Seems like, I don't know.
I just don't think it's that much of a stretch to think that how many massive behemoth hotels are sitting almost full all the time there?
Well, and the other argument, too, and remember back to when, Winnipeg, it can't work. Well, it doesn't need to be the number one revenue generator in the league. Mm-hmm. Just don't be 29th or 30th. And I don't think Vegas would be.
No. The thing with the Quebec City, with the Winnipeg comparison, I don't think that Quebec has much of a chance of being a huge flop. But what's the probability of it being a star franchise? Probably not really high. Just like Winnipeg, because you're limited by your market. There's not a lot of money to be made in that city. You're sapping everything you got, and yet you're sort of in the middle. That's probably the ceiling for a Quebec franchise. If this is an absolute hit in Vegas, and that you can sell a lot of things in Vegas. Pete Rose signs baseballs all day, every day there. Yeah, you can sell anything in Vegas. If this works, why wouldn't it be as good as an LA Kings type franchise in terms of the amount of money you can make?
Sad. I mean, Pete Rose.
Yeah,
it's real sad.
He's really sad.
If you've ever seen that,
that's a depressed old man who's in denial,
sitting there. Look, he was a good baseball player once. Now he's crazy
depressed.
What are we going to call this Vegas team?
Black Knights. That was the word from the original scoop. When Hawken and Canna went and met with the guy, a winter or two ago? Did the one-on-one with the owner?
You all right with the Black Knights?
I have no problem with it. I mean, of course, we're all going to be outraged when we see the jerseys, because that's what we do.
Of course we get outraged.
Yeah. Everyone, remember how upset everyone was at the Winnipeg logos? What are you talking about? These are going to be fine.
Oh, of course.
They're going to be fine. It's a jet. Deal with it.
Team name may not be decided by fan vote. Well, I don't know that... Are they ever?
Sometimes they like to have the contest to garner interest, but I think it's always what the owners want, no? You spend $500 million, you probably get to pick the name.
Of course, the gentleman, Bill Foley,
To pick the new name for the building, people went over to feedbackfortwayne.org. They made suggestions and voted. The overwhelming front runner was the Harry Balls Government Center.
No.
Don't let people do it.
Don't let people vote.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. If you let people vote.
John Scott.
There's going to be a John Scott movie and a building named after a man named Harry Balls.
The Las Vegas Harry Balls are coming to the Scotiabank Saddledome.
Yeah, Bill Foley is the guy who's looking to buy the team and get it going. He's partial to Black Knights, apparently. What about the Aces? Could you do the Aces?
You could, but that's the East Coast team. I think you'd probably want to stay separate branding away from them.
I don't really care.
Knights. That's had some success with some teams with that name of late.
Well, it's 8:45. We're going to take our final break here, and we'll come back with what you want to talk about. I get the feeling you guys are ready. Bodie McBoatface.
The Knights. That's Black Knights. Yeah.
We'll come back with what you want to talk about. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We want a shrubbery. A what?
Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Very excited for what you want to talk about today. I think you guys are ready. But I'm apprehensive about when to start it. Because I think less is always better when it comes to this segment.
Kind of like Corey Hart. Less is more?
Some would say...
Five songs instead of six?
None is best. Coming up after 9 o'clock, J.D. Bunkus. Who is this person you talk to?
J.D. Bunkus.
And whom is he?
Well, he's half of the Free Association podcast.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's all right. And he produces your old pal's afternoon show in Toronto.
Who's that?
Andrew Walker. Remember him? Short guy?
Actually, I think it's a midday show.
Okay, listen.
Because I know who they...
Did the impersonations?
They have an afternoon show.
Right. So it's not Drive.
And they have a morning show.
It used to be mornings, I think.
That's a little mean, maybe.
I don't know. Just telling people what time it is.
I don't know. What like that. 1 to 3? What is that? Is that
Eastern?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Get 0% for up to 84 months on Ram trucks, Grand Caravans, and Jeeps. You can also buy a new Jeep for only $15,995. Go to varsitychrysler.com.
All right, 960-960 on your mobile phone. Let's do this. Rob Kerr likes the name the Las Vegas Die.
Die?
As in, you know, dice. Die thing.
I see.
Montreal is in Quebec, and they've won a lot. Why aren't they happy going to those games? They don't need another team. That'd be like saying that we here in Calgary, we can go to Oiler games.
You don't need two teams in Alberta.
Why don't you guys just go to Edmonton games?
Yeah.
Hockey won't survive in Vegas. People go there for gambling and shows, not sporting events. One-time events like UFC, yeah, okay, but not 82 regular season games. Well,
math's a little off on the regular season game.
Yeah, it's 41, and you don't need to go to all of them. If you go down and go to one hockey game, that's one of 41. And then when your buddies go down or other people go down, they go to one. You're not expecting someone to go down for all 41 home games.
If I was going out for a weekend, it would be a perfect opportunity to stop the drinking for 3 or 4 hours.
What?
Or at least restart the drinking for three or 4 hours. I'd go to a game.
The news keeps getting worse for Pinder's population estimates. Google tells me the combined population of Saskatoon and Regina is actually closer to 550,000. That's about 200,000 over Pinder's careless comment. We talked about the
someone was very offended that
the
I
attendance
it was
at
350,000 in Regina. I'm just a sexy boy. My mat's not so sexy. I'm not your boy toy.
Go Riders! You guys are extra funny today. Please sing to Shawn Michaels' theme song more often. That was so funny.
We're not small towns in a rectangular province. We've got an NLL team.
Hey, Pinder. Hey. You annoyed me yesterday when you were trying to tell me who to cheer for at the World Cup, yep. But you totally redeemed yourself with your Scott Farrell impression.
Well, there you are.
Do it
win
again.
Win some, you lose some. All right, so this is came up yesterday, and you can leave it alone or attack it if you want.
I don't care.
The notion was that people are going to cheer for the U23 team more than Team Canada at a best-on-best hockey tournament with Maple Leafs on the front of the jerseys for Team Canada. I just thought that was preposterous. Either way, move along.
Preposterous. That's preposterous.
I'm just mad they didn't take TJ Brody.
How about some Limp Bizkit for Artist of the Day? Mm. It's been done, and been done recently.
And probably one too many times at least that it's been done.
Everyone keeps running over a sleeping deer on Memorial. He looks pissed.
Oh, that poor sleeping deer.
I haven't heard a Corey Hart song for probably 10 years. And I'm now good for another 10 years.
Dead deer.
You just heard five.
Ow. Boys, I'm going to France to watch the Euros.
Nice.
And got 4 days in between games. Monte Carlo, Monaco.
Oh.
Or nice to...
Nice.
Oh, I see.
Nice is a city.
Well, he didn't capitalize it, you
okay.
see.
Okay.
He capitalized Monte Carlo and Monaco.
Finish the text.
Do you guys have a goat call like Pat had on his show yesterday afternoon? I don't know. They can have their goat call.
We do have the donkey or the mule, of course.
That's I guess.
That's much a goat.
Is Crosby still the best player? Is that what it is?
One was Pat at the Stampede doing the drop of death.
Right.
The other's a screaming goat, I think is the joke.
What will it take to get Martin Murray out of Pittsburgh to be our goalie?
Rangers.
Just stop.
Martin?
Hello. It's Patrick.
I know.
Good for you, son.
Every time I tune into this station, I am shocked to learn that Steinberg is still employed.
Back to me. Mix in a leg workout.
Just awful, Cass. Yeah, awful.
Says here in the game notes, Billy, he's a virgin. Steinberg never even kissed a...
Score! Steinberg!
I really... That's
a
you
big
know
goal.
What?
You're not comfy with that one.
I'm really not. That was done so long ago. And
were you comfortable with it then? Because it probably wasn't less offensive then.
It felt a little cringy at the time.
Yeah.
And the more it continues to get played, I feel
just hasn't aged
increasingly
well.
Bad about it. Fellas, the music from the Three Stars is magic. Sticks in my head all day and lifts my mood. What's it from? I have no idea, man.
It's
some goofy game show music.
Celine Dion, yeah.
Vegas, don't care. There you go, lifting up your day. The Las Vegas flush. What would it sound like if Shawn Michaels announced a trade at the draft?
We have a trade to announce. So sexy. Walking to the podium. Corey Schneider. You're gonna wanna hear this.
Some sweet chin music.
A big trade.
Can you get me as a guest on the show, Ryan from Pinoca? No. You guys are the 7th best sports show in Canada. That's awesome.
Cool.
Top 10, baby.
Woo!
Woohoo! Pinder is the Drew Storen of the morning show. What's the status of Rhett's hat? What's the status of Rhett's hat order? Well, you got gifted one yesterday. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if he considers that, you know, a hat order. Does that mean he's back on track? I don't know.
He was gifted one, though. It's not the same as spending his own dough on one.
Boom Daddy won a parlay with Pittsburgh and Golden State last night. Can you give a shout out to the losers, Gordo and Team Money, for me? What's up, Team Money?
Gordy.
Will LeBron James clearly cinch the finals for the Cavs? I think LeBron...
You've got to be on the Cavs, hey? Everyone hears about your love affair with Cavs.
Yeah.
This name coming in, the suggestion for Vegas, the Las Vegas Dentists, that likely aimed at Jay. Bunny there. Okay.
Can you ask Walker who that Sharks player was that scored their second goal last night?
M-A-R-L-O. Marlowe.
Well, that's right. It was...
Something not exactly.
Right. Marlowe.
Oh.
What would it sound like if Scott Farrell made a trade at the draft, announced the trade at the draft? Do you have a Scotty Farrell?
For on the bench. I can't believe they're making this trade. Jim Benning's taking all of his pain medicine in one night. This is crazy.
Boomer's Cavs are the Gavin Floyd of the morning show. You may be the seventh best sports show in Canada, but you're still the number one sports show in Edmonton. Oh, yeah, buddies. Love Edmonton. Love piping in there nice and hot.
I thought we talked too quick. Remember that?
What do I have to do to get Pinder fired? He is very annoying.
Keep listening and get all your friends to listen. That's the way.
Yeah, that's right. Make sure everyone listens.
Everyone you know, make
I
them
bet
listen.
You it'll be...
it's only a matter of time.
It'll be automatic. I was in Denver last week, and I missed you guys. Why did the opening 5:30 song change? Jay, why is there a new show opener? Dude was in Denver.
What does Denver matter? I don't...
He was in Denver.
He missed some shows, and now he's back. And the 5:30 intro song
He was away.
Different. And now he's back. He's back.
It's a different song because it's a different song.
Right. What's that song you played at the beginning?
That other song was the show opener.
Yeah, so now this one is...
And now this song, it's
the show opener.
It's the new show opener.
Yeah.
Can you plug the hashtag breast brunch ever for me? It's June 5th at Vagabond Calgary, benefiting the Enbridge Ride to Conquer Cancer. That is from Jason.
Yeah, Vagabonds are down by the saddle.
Yeah, good for you, Jason. That's a big undertaking. That's a huge commitment. So there you go. Hashtag breast brunch ever. And I know it's to raise money for charity, but I would want free brunch just for doing that. I
you're gonna make
not to say I wouldn't
donation?
Donate.
You're going
to
cut a check?
But I just don't want to do it for the food. I want the food.
You can't be donating to charity on an empty tummy.
No. Just to clarify, did that texter this morning want you to take him seriously when he said faux schnizzle? Was it? I think it was faux shizzle.
For Rizzle.
For Rizzle. See, I can't keep up. I can't keep up, Pinder. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of here so you can get your the basketball guy on, the PJ
Nine.
Dunkus. Is that his name?
PJ Dunkus.
Could we have an umpire strike to finish the show?
That's probably a good call.
Well, then I have to stand up.
Well, stand up there. Right. Move your mic. Get out of your chair. You have to leave anyway. Can't stay in it forever.
Join us tomorrow. It's Wednesday.
Team up game 2.
Yeah, we'll get ready for game 2. We've got clean it up. We'll
so
maybe do some.
Sexy.
We'll do some form of 20 questions, perhaps. But that's going to do it for it today.
Without Red, how do you do 20 questions?
I don't know. We'll just do something.
Maybe we'll call Red. He's listening to the show, texting us all morning. May as well bring him in.
See you tomorrow.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Get 0% for up to 84 months on Ram trucks, Grand Caravans, and Jeeps. You can also buy a new Jeep for only $15,995. Go to varsitychrysler.com.
You're flat-footed.
Exploded bag of garbage.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of shit. That is.
I shit my pants last night.
Poopy.
Scary.
Regis. Who's Rob Kerr?
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You've got to be kidding me.
You're a ball.
You're a loser. You've always been a loser.
Dead deer.
Thank God no one's listening to this.
I'm a giraffe.
How's your dog?